This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Green light for some booster shots. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, September 23rd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The FDA has approved COVID-19 boosters from Pfizer for people who are 65 and older or at high risk of severe disease.
Reports say some Haitian migrants camped in a Texas border town are being released into the U.S., despite the Biden administration saying they face expulsion.
President Biden again urging divided Democrats to find a way to pass his $3.5 trillion social spending package.
And the generation of American men who have given up on college.
The largest source of growth for jobs is for folks who have degrees. But a lot of that is degree and credential inflation. And what's happening now is that we've kind of overshot the mark with the number of people who have degrees. And there are more and more venues where folks can get faster, cheaper credentials to get them into the labor market at a decent level.
Doug Belkin at the Wall Street Journal on the growing higher education gap between men and women. The Food and Drug Administration has cleared COVID-19 vaccine booster shots from Pfizer for a certain subset of the population. The boosters would be for people 65 and older, or those at risk of severe disease and death because of their jobs or where they live, like those who work in healthcare, at grocery stores, or in schools. In an effort to help shorten the pandemic and the outbreak of the highly transmissible Delta variant, the FDA says those people should receive a booster at least 6 months after they had taken a second dose. Former CDC Director Tom Frieden spoke with ABC News.
It's a reasonable decision to provide a third dose to people for whom it appears that immunity is waning and severe infection is an increasing risk in the age of Delta.
Also, an FDA deputy director says there is not enough data to approve using the Pfizer booster in those who've received the Moderna or J&J shots, so no mixing and matching at this point. An update on Democrats' spending proposals in Washington. President Biden is urging lawmakers to reach a consensus on his massive $3.5 trillion social spending package. He held a series of meetings at the White House yesterday trying to settle significant intra-party differences that could sideline his agenda. During his sit-down with moderate Democrats, lawmakers discussed reducing the size of the package to less than $3 trillion. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia.
On a 10-year basis, that'll add $2 trillion. On mandatory spending in front of Social Security, in front of the military, in front of Medicare, that would be a self-inflicted blow that would be horrible for our country.
Progressives, meanwhile, continued to threaten to block passage of a separate, roughly $1 trillion infrastructure bill next week if that measure comes to the House floor before the larger package. The larger bill would, among other things, expand access to health care, offer universal pre-kindergarten, and aim to reduce carbon emissions. The U.S. and France appear to be on better terms today. President Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron spoke by telephone for 30 minutes yesterday and agreed to launch in-depth consultations to rebuild trust. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
As part of the two leaders trying to mend their relationship, France agreed to send its ambassador back to Washington, and the White House acknowledged it erred in brokering a deal for Australia to buy U.S. nuclear-powered submarines instead of conventional French ones without consulting Paris. Separately, Washington had committed to step up support of European states with counterterrorism operations in the Sahel region of Africa. Also, a joint statement said the two men plan to meet in Europe at the end of October. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. France, by the way, has a 5,000-strong counterterrorism force fighting Islamist militants across the Sahel. It's reducing its contingent by about half, moving more assets to Niger, and encouraging other European countries to provide special forces to work alongside local forces the U.S. provides logistical and intelligence support. Coming up next, how Mitch McConnell aims for a return to power. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Republicans are once again hoping they can wipe out Democrats' majorities in the House and Senate next year in order to check a Democratic president's legislative ambition. That means Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, in hopes of becoming the longest-serving Senate leader in American history, is balancing the pursuit of bipartisan legislation with working overtime to kill the rest of the Democrats' domestic policy agenda. It's a story by Zach Cohen, Senate reporter at National Journal. Zach, what are sources saying?
So obviously, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell would love to become Majority Leader again. He is spending a lot of time trying to get Republicans back into the majority in the Senate. Obviously, it's evenly divided 50-50 right now, so Republicans would only have to pick up one seat in next year's midterm elections. That being said, you know, they're sort of in the middle of this very high-stakes brinksmanship over the debt limit, basically the statutory limit about how much money the government can borrow at any given time to pay its expenses. But McConnell and Republicans have basically said, we're not going to support that as long as Democrats are trying to go it alone on a massive $3.5 trillion social spending plan. But on the flip side of that, there's an infrastructure bill that he voted for, $1 trillion, that's sort of riding along with this that he did support, as well as a host of other bipartisan proposals that are either included in this massive package that he supported or had previously voted for earlier this year. And so as McConnell tries to both assuage Republican senators, the Republican base that needs to come out in droves in order to win the Senate back, he also needs to appeal to a general electorate and make the case that a Republican majority can govern with a Democratic president.
How about the role of former President Trump in all of this?
There is, however, a lot of pressure on McConnell from sort of the Trump side of the party. Obviously, he and the former president don't get along very well, especially after McConnell, in really no uncertain terms, said how inappropriate Trump's role in inciting the riot on January 6th at the Capitol was. And though he did vote to acquit Trump, they haven't spoken since the very tail end of Trump's tenure. And so Trump has reportedly started trying to field a challenger to McConnell in a leadership role in 2023, trying to get a Republican senator to run against him. Eric Greitens, who's running for Senate in Missouri, sort of made some news yesterday saying he wouldn't vote for McConnell for leader again. But any sort of challenge to McConnell in a leadership post seems really unlikely to be successful at this point. There's not a lot of appetite for it among Republican senators.
Mm. All right. So how about, by the way, the House versus the Senate, because there are some rumblings that the House has a decent shot of turning Republican in 2022. What are the feelings with regards to the Senate about that?
Yeah, both chambers are really narrow. Democrats only have a couple seats of an advantage, just sort of depending on the week and what variants vacancies are doing. And then the Senate is 50-50. There's a number of states up for that have openings, very competitive states. You've got places like Arizona, Georgia, New Hampshire, that have Democrats who won their seats by very narrow margins in their previous elections. You've got a couple of Republican seats that are up for grabs, retiring senators, you know, places like Ohio and North Carolina, where Democrats could maybe try to make a play to pick those up since there's not an incumbent Republican senator running. This is going to be a multi-billion dollar affair when everything's said and done between candidate spending, super PAC spending, because it will determine who controls the levers of Washington for the final 2 years of President Biden's first term.
Mm. We're speaking with Zach Cohen, Senate reporter at National Journal. His piece is called McConnell Walks Tightrope as He Angles for Return to Power. Finish up with kind of what we might learn about Senator McConnell here as the rest of 2021 unfolds. This is really becomes a critical time window.
Yeah, it's really just a big question at this point. Especially as we head into these couple of weeks here, the government runs out of money next week. You know, we're on the brink of a government shutdown because the Democrats and Republicans haven't agreed on a bill on how to fund the government even until December, which is sort of the goal at this point, until they can agree on larger funding bills for the full fiscal year that begins next week. It'll be interesting to see how they sort of work their way toward an agreement without shutting down the government and sacrificing the full faith and credit of the United States in a potential default if they can't manage to raise the statutory limit on borrowing.
Thanks, Zach. Zach Cohen, Senate reporter at National Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
U.S. health authorities have cleared COVID vaccine booster shots for people 65 and older and certain other adults at high risk of severe illness, a bid to help curb the pandemic and the dangerous Delta variant. The FDA says it's permitting a third dose of the Pfizer shot for people who already got two doses and are 65 years and older or at risk of severe disease and death. Former CDC Director Tom Frieden spoke with ABC.
Even though there is some evidence that a booster will be helpful, no one should think that their vaccination is not protecting them.
People should receive a booster at least 6 months after they had taken a second dose.
Number two.
Many Haitian migrants camped at a small Texas border town are being released in the U.S., undercutting the Biden administration's public statements that the thousands in the camp face immediate expulsion. Many have been released with notices to appear at an immigration office within 60 days, an outcome that requires less processing time from Border Patrol agents than ordering an appearance in immigration court.
Number three.
Bipartisan talks to enact new federal police reforms sparked by the death of George Floyd are over, with no plans to move ahead with the legislation. Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, a key broker in the talks, called his Senate counterpart, Republican Tim Scott of South Carolina, yesterday morning to say the talks are off.
It was clear that we were not making the progress that we needed to make to give America what I think the largest civil rights protests we've had in our country's history demands for substantive, meaningful reform.
Booker says Democrats were done negotiating after Scott on Tuesday did not accept their final offer. Reusable packaging from stainless steel ice cream containers to glass jars of soap is about to become more common at groceries and restaurants worldwide. Loop, a two-year-old company that collects and sanitizes reusable containers, says it's expanding. After successful trials at groceries in France and Japan, Kroger and Walgreens are among the chains partnering with Loop to sell household staples in reusable packages. McDonald's, Burger King, and Tim Hortons have also signed on.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, the gap between men and women at college. Did you know most of the seafood on display at your grocer has been thawed out just to look fresh? Unless you cook it on the boat, peak freshness only happens when it's frozen right after it's caught. That's what they do at Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Premium cuts, ready to prepare, easy to cook. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, with different specials to explore every month. And they offer a 100% guarantee or your money back. I got the Wild Combo Box and couldn't be more impressed. Each piece of fish individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Very environmentally conscientious. Wild Alaskan Company's seafood is how nature intended it to be. Never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's Wild Alaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. Wild Alaskan company.com/Gordon. Use that URL to let them know that we sent you. Thanks for joining us. Men are abandoning higher education in such numbers that they now trail female college students by record levels. At the close of the 2020-2021 academic year, women made up 60% of college students, an all-time high, and men 41%. Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says this gap, which holds at both two- and four-year colleges, has been slowly widening for 40 years. Doug, why?
There's so many things that are coming together at once that are creating this massive gap. This started about 40 years ago when women hit parity with men on campus. And prior to that, you know, everything was aligned to get men on campus and really to prevent women. And they weren't encouraging women to come on. And to fix that, there was a lot of effort made to bring women on board, to encourage them, and it worked. At the same time, there was this sort of college for all movement that started, and that dropped a lot of the vocational training that this country had in the high schools, and there wasn't that many other options, so men started to go to college, and they didn't do that well, a lot of them. The graduation rates for men are The six-year graduation rates are around 55%. So over time, guys started to get the message that this is not a short thing. It's an expensive endeavor. It's risky. They may graduate with a lot of debt. The millennials kind of taught Gen Z that this is not something to just walk into blindly.
Yeah.
And so they're rethinking it. And at the same time, there's been a real strong cultural shift on college campuses that are teaching what a lot of guys feel like is negative toward men. And so they feel victimized or put upon or not welcome. So there's a lot of things moving in the same direction that are pushing back against guys going to college right now.
Yeah. And tied into that discussion, as you referenced, it's expensive in some cases, and the value of an education is being questioned. Can most jobs in America be done without a college degree?
So the largest source of growth for jobs is for folks who have degrees, but a lot of that is degree and credential inflation. And what's happening now is that we've kind of overshot the mark with the number of people who have degrees, and there are more and more venues where folks can get faster, cheaper credentials to get them into the labor market at a decent level. It's still a fairly nascent trend, but it's making a difference. And the other big shift right now is that there's a super tight employment market. The labor market's tight, so guys can get jobs paying a decent wage at Amazon or driving trucks because they're out there. So that's also sort of the last year or so that's accelerated this long-term trend is somewhat due to just the tight labor market.
We're speaking with Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is about how the number of men enrolled at 2- and 4-year colleges has fallen behind women by record levels. Do the schools think that this gap needs to be addressed now?
Yes and no. I spoke to a lot of college presidents for this story, and most of them said, we're doing okay. So I think it's a little mixed bag. What's going to happen is that the number of schools that are in trouble, the private, high-tuition, low-endowment schools, they're not drawing from it, and they haven't for a while, and they need to pull everybody in that they can.
Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Apply for a loan with a bank and you might get free coffee. But Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers personal loans with no fees ever. So consolidate debt with a no-fee personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs or get free coffee. Go to Marcus.com to learn more about our no-fee personal loans and other products today. Lending and deposits provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
We are America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, September 23. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The FDA clears COVID booster shots from Pfizer for those considered high risk. Reports say some Haitian migrants huddling in a Texas border town are being released into the U.S. A handful of House Republicans have drafted articles of impeachment against President Biden over the border crisis. Stocks rose as the Fed signaled an interest rate hike next year. First full day of fall today. Thursday night football, Houston, home to Carolina. And the man collecting donated RVs to house wildfire victims. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Marcus by Goldman Sachs personal loans have no fees ever. Discover more at Marcus.com. Stocks are rebounding. The Fed yesterday indicated that it could begin to reduce its bond purchases soon and raise interest rates as early as next year. All three major indexes finished the day higher, marking the first day of gains for the S&P 500 and Dow Jones Industrial Average after a four-session losing streak. Meanwhile, following a brief but deep crash in March of 2020, stocks and other investments had glided ever higher and touched new records, seemingly impervious to an endless stream of bad news about COVID and a historic wave of unemployment during the pandemic-fueled recession. That is, until this month. Here to explain the recent volatility and lay out the potential for the rest of the year is Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. Jess, why the turmoil lately?
It's interesting because September is typically, historically, the worst month in general in the stock market. And as you know, over the last about year and a half, I mean, we've seen the stock market have quite the rebound since the crash in the March of 2020. And overall, the S&P 500 has gained almost 100% since bottoming out then. But in the summer of the doldrums, as you know, they're sort of listless for a while. Wasn't a lot of volatility going on. But now we've seen things get a little bit turbulent again in the last few weeks. But a lot of experts I've spoken with have expected that stocks will continue to march higher in the final months of this year and beyond as the economy recovers. But it could be a bumpy ride as we are in the second year of a bull market. And that does tend to historically overlap when you look at other trends in bull markets. There's typically a really strong year that first year, like we did see last year with the rebound. And then things are sort of starting to level off a little bit just because we had such a huge run-up last year, but it wouldn't be unusual to see what we're seeing right now. And typically, we normally would see about at least 3-5% pullbacks in the S&P 500 per year. We have yet to see that. The last time we saw a pullback quite like that was almost a year ago. It was last October. So I don't think with the latest volatility we've seen, it should really freak people out right now.
Got it. All right, so what have some of these experts said about signals for the rest of 2021?
Going into this month, there's already been interesting trends that we've seen overall underneath the stock market surface in recent months. And there's a lot of different when you're looking at market breadth, or really that means just how many stocks have been participating in the rally, is deteriorated a bit in the recent months. And so there were a lot of experts that were already expecting what we're seeing now to happen. So there are different news things when we're talking about, say, the indebted property, what's happening with the real estate market in China. There's also issues of people wondering what the future course of what the Federal Reserve's monetary policy is going to be after obviously they shored up so much stimulus to prevent the economy, obviously getting us out of the recession last year. There's also questions as far as just in general the trajectory of the economic recovery and the what's happening with the Delta variant. But there were already signals even before these other things were happening as far as just fewer stocks participating in the rally. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not necessarily unusual or a bad thing. We just saw such a huge run-up. And so it wouldn't be surprising if we did see a bit of a bumpy ride for the rest of this year and next year. But overall, if you look at, say, what banks are anticipating, for instance, with Goldman Sachs, they have their year-end targets for this year, as well as next year with the S&P 500. And they still expect stocks to continue to keep on climbing higher. I think it won't be quite as robust of a rebound like we did see over the past year, year and a half. But experts still expect that stocks will continue to turn higher as the economy continues to recover.
Okay. We're speaking with Jessica Minton, markets reporter at USA Today. Her piece is called "Don't Fret Over a Market Downturn." She's taking a little dive into recent turmoil in the markets. You said before, fewer stocks are participating in the rally. Why would that be, and how does that affect things?
Typically, that happens, and that's actually been going on for a while now. Started actually in the spring and sort of accelerated into the summer. And in general, it could signal that there's a pessimistic shift there with investors' attitudes, as a lot of investors have remained largely optimistic during the market boom. But if you look at some of those sentiment indicators, they do see like maybe they're getting close to be a little bit too lopsided. So there might be excessive optimism there. So if we do see some of the volatility lately and some a bit of a pullback, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But for instance, nearly 30% of stocks in the S&P 500 have already moved below their 200-day moving average. And that's more of kind of a longer-term gauge. And then we're seeing some similar things like with the S&P 500 breaking below its 50-day moving average recently. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. And a lot of experts think that looking at those shorter-term gauges, like with the 50-day moving average, it would almost be impossible for it to stay above it forever. And for the fact that it held above that for most of the duration of this year was actually a signal that there is a lot of strength.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Minton, markets reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, proof that Conor McGregor chose the right sport.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that many of the criminals we talk about on the show were foiled by their own missteps, but these days it's just as easy to be outed by technology. For example, German police say they have solved a burglary case at a kindergarten after a storytelling gadget the suspect had swiped revealed his location. Police say this week that the 44-year-old suspect had stolen various items during a break-in at a kindergarten class, and among them were a laptop, picture books, cups and glasses, some fish sticks, pasta, and a smart speaker for playing children's stories. When the man tried to download new stories onto the device a month later, it sent his location to the manufacturers, who then informed police. The suspect's now facing criminal charges, and the kids were excited to have their storytelling device back in class.
Yeah, what's with the list of items that he was taking from this classroom?
What's with robbing a kindergarten class in the first place?
Seriously.
What are you going to find there that's of value, yeah. I guess, other than maybe an electronic device, which he didn't sell. He just brought home and decided to use it instead.
Yeah.
Along, you know, heated up some fish sticks in the microwave, yeah. And decided to download a new story.
This is what happens when you actually skip kindergarten? Is that perhaps a lesson here?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He's got to go back to school to learn sort of the better places to go rob if you're going to go stealing stuff.
I mean, go to the chemistry lab.
Yeah, it's something.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Kindergarten's the last place you probably want to be if you want to make any money.
Fish sticks. I love that.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, but we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention what could be the new leader in the clubhouse for the worst baseball first pitch ever. Conor McGregor has been showing up at U.S. sporting events the last few days, and on Tuesday, the Chicago Cubs decided to welcome the UFC star to Wrigley Field to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. It didn't go very well, with his left-handed pitch flying 20 feet wide of the catcher and into the backstop. This reminded people of the 50-cent first pitch from a few years ago, also left-handed, which came closer to the first base dugout than the catcher. It was also a reminder that Conor McGregor's skills in the ring do not translate to American team sports, as he was also mocked, you might remember, 3 years ago for his terrible form throwing a football on the field before a Dallas Cowboys game.
And yet they continue to bring him back, I guess, for the entertainment value.
I guess. I give him credit for trying, I guess, and for knowing he's not very good at these things.
Yeah.
Going out in a full suit to the pitcher's mound because he goes in a full suit everywhere and trying to do this. I played baseball my whole childhood. That's one of my worst fears is throwing out a ceremonial first pitch because I know it would wind up going all over the place.
Right.
And he's never probably played baseball before.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him on him for trying anyway.
Speaking of going big or going home. He whipped that pitch.
Yes.
Yeah, he was trying to top 100 miles an hour. I mean, he let it fly with his left hand.
See, what you need to do, if you don't know what you're doing, you need to soft toss that thing, right? You don't need to actually pitch that ball.
Right. He may have torn a ligament. 50 Cent did not tear a ligament. Conor McGregor may have.
Yes.
Choices are great most of the time, but there are tough choices too, like the choice between getting a close shave or paying a fair price. That's the kind of choice we can do without, but when you choose Harry's, you get both. Try it yourself. Redeem a Harry's trial set. When you go to harrys.com/deal, they craft their blades in their own German factory and cut out the bells and whistles you don't need to make high-quality razors at a fair price, as low as $2 a blade. Their smooth, comfortable shave impresses me every day, and I think you'll be impressed too. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today.
Thanks for being with us. Pumpkin spice lattes and donuts are all well and good, but does the arrival of fall mean everything has to be pumped up with pumpkin? USA Today says yes, apparently it does. Introducing Kellogg's Pumpkin Pop-Tarts, Hostess Pumpkin Spice Twinkies, and Pumpkin Cheerios. Make your way to the cooler section, and you will see the harvest of pumpkin beers has not slowed either. This year, we've got Bud Light Pumpkin Spice Seltzer, which you can find in a new fall flannel variety pack with three other autumnal flavors, including toasted marshmallow, maple pear, and apple crisp. As you hunt for Halloween candy, how about this? Kit Kat Pumpkin Pie Miniatures made with
pumpkin pie flavored cream. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The FDA has authorized a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine for emergency use in people ages 65 and up, as well as those 18 and older at high risk of exposure to the coronavirus or severe illness. Boosters are to be given at least 6 months after people get their second doses of the Pfizer vaccine.
Number two.
President Biden gathered world leaders virtually yesterday to discuss a plan for fighting the pandemic, which has killed more than 4 million people globally, announcing the U.S. would donate another half a billion doses of Pfizer vaccines to lower-income nations.
For every one shot we've administered to date in America, we have now committed to do 3 shots to the rest of the world.
Number three.
After weeks of rising coronavirus infections and hospitalizations, there are signs that Alabama's latest surge may be starting to abate. But the reprieve comes at a high cost, with the state now experiencing a near record-breaking surge in virus-related deaths. Statewide, there are now more than 2,100 patients hospitalized with coronavirus, and 97% of ICU beds are currently in use. With a personal push, President Biden is pressing fellow Democrats to hasten work on his big Build Back Better agenda, telling them to come up with a final framework and their best top-line budget figure as the party labors to bridge its divisions in Congress ahead of crucial voting deadlines. Democrats, including Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, are also pressing the GOP to support raising the debt limit.
Are we hostage to Republicans who are threatening to blow up a part of the economic system? Because they want to do that for politics? That's just not where we should be as a nation.
Biden first conferred with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and then held separate sessions with moderate and progressive senators and representatives. So how did some dinosaurs get around so fast? They put some pep in their step by swinging their tails. New 3D simulations of dinosaur movement suggest that some of the animals swung their tails to and fro to help them move, similar to how we swing our arms. Researchers at Harvard say the tail movement could have helped some dinosaurs regulate their momentum and reduce strain on muscles.
Oh, yeah. Bring back tails for us. Reduce strain on muscles.
Oh, gosh, no.
Isn't that how the cheetah gets around so fast? Like, just that big old tail acts like a rudder, okay. Right, adding speed and stuff.
All right.
What do I know? Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell. Heartwarming story out of California about a guy named Woody Faircloth, who's now donated at least 95 recreational vehicles to people who have lost their homes to wildfires. He told the Associated Press that the nonprofit EmergencyRV.org, run entirely on volunteer efforts and donated RVs, fills a gap for victims who often wait months for emergency housing. As social media posts about his first donation 3 years ago began to spread, donors started offering Mr. Faircloth their RVs. Some offered to deliver the vehicles themselves, but Mr. Faircloth makes many of the drops personally. He tries to schedule the trips on weekends, but often dips into vacation time from his full-time job with Comcast. Mr. Faircloth has traversed thousands of miles over the past 3 years. While those who are given RVs own them outright, Mr. Faircloth says some return them once they're on their feet so they can be donated to other fire victims. He also, by the way, envisions staging RVs in hurricane zones in the future to respond to those types of disasters as well. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.